It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day. The Refreshing.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today. It is February the 18th, and we wish you guys richest blessings. God is good. It's time for our opening prayer. Let's pray at this time. Dear Father, thank you so much for this day. I pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us, and we give you honor and glory and praise. I ask that you would bless us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Today, the test of Christ's divinity. The test of Christ's divinity. This is dealing with Lazarus in John chapter 11. You want to read sometime today that entire story. We're going to look at simply verse 43. It's not the shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible has two words. but it's in the same story. Jesus wept. This one says, Lazarus, come forth. All right. And, I mean, that's what it's listed in the devotional. I'm going to look that up just to make sure that I'm not telling you wrong, because sometimes the devotional just might use a portion of a verse. And I just want to make sure. I just told you it only has three words, so let me check that out. Okay, we're going to John chapter 11, and we're looking at verse 43. Praise God. Didn't want to tell you wrong. Yes, it does have more verses. It says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So in the devotional that I'll be reading, it just says, Lazarus, come forth. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and abide with us and help us to understand the importance of your divinity, the divinity of Christ as he was even on the earth. The fact that God would come down to save us. We sometimes forget that Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who created the earth. For the Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And the Bible says, the word was God. So it was Jesus that created this great planet. It is Jesus that laid out the stars in their magnificent array. And we want to say thank you to Jesus for the beautiful things of this earth, marred by sin, though. Though marred by sin, we still see the remnants of the beauty in nature. And man cannot, although he's trying to, understand the secret intricacies, the secret intricacies of creation. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, happy Sabbath again. It says, he felt every pang of anguish. I'm reading from Homeward Bound, the devotional book, and it's picking it up from Desire of Ages. This reading comes from portions of Desire of Ages, pages 528, 529, 534, and 536. It says, he felt every pang of anguish as he said to his disciples, Lazarus, dead. My brothers and sisters, when you hurt, God hurts. He understands and he feels the pain. So when you go through things, don't think God does not understand. And we're going to learn that sometimes God is manifesting his divinity through your life, and yet he must delay the deliverance that you are experiencing so that we might all learn who he is. But Christ had not only the loved ones at Bethany to think of, he had the training of his disciples to consider. They were to be his representatives to the world, that the Father's blessing might embrace all. For their sake, he permitted Lazarus to die. See, that's deep, brothers and sisters. God has plans that we can't fathom because we're short-sighted, and his knowledge and wisdom is far-reaching. He allowed Lazarus to die. He has allowed people to go to prison. He has allowed people to die. But you see, he has something much greater that he's offering his people. It is called eternal life in happiness and joy and bliss, where there will be no more sorrow and pain. Neither would there be challenges and death and destruction and crime. That's what he's promised. And so God is looking at that aspect of what he's offering to us. Let me see if I can just make an adjustment here. Okay, I guess that's going to work. Okay, I think it'll be enough. need to charge this iPad, but I think there's enough battery. It's like maybe the cord is not really working. And so God allows things to happen so that he might manifest his divinity. We need to apply this to our lives. For their sake, he permitted Lazarus to die. He had restored him from illness to health. Had he restored him from illness to health, the miracle that is the most positive evidence of his divine character would not have been performed. God, near Christ, when it was almost time for him to die, he wanted to give one final example of his divinity so that priest, ruler, Pharisee, Sadducee, common layman, cobbler, seamstress, tailor, tax collector, fisherman, they might all understand that he was God. And so he allowed Lazarus to die so that he could perform the miracle. And I will tell you this, brothers and sisters, when God performs miracles in your life, it will either soften your heart or harden your heart. And that's why when the Bible says that he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he was working miracles. Now, the miracles hurt Pharaoh, but that's because Pharaoh had his hands around the necks of God's people. You see, if you try to hurt God's people and God performs a miracle for his people, it's going to hurt you, okay? But if you're trying to help God's people and God performs a miracle, it helps you, but it's still a miracle. And that miracle is designed to even help the enemy of God's people to understand. God worked a miracle when he blinded Paul on the road to Damascus. That was a miracle because Paul was on his way to kill Christians, but it softened Paul's heart because his heart was to serve the Lord. He believed that these people should be killed who were against God, friends. Who he thought was against God. And so he thought he was doing God's service, as the phrase says, but he was not. But that divinity, that light of divinity, helped him to understand that Christ was the one he was persecuting. And isn't it what Jesus said? Why persecutest thou me? Is it hard to kick against the pricks? See, the character of God's true people was being manifest in their love and in their devotion and even in their fearlessness at death and peace that shone on their countenance like Stephen's peace at death. And it was convicting Paul. And yet he was fighting against it. No, but the rabbis are right. The rabbis are right. Friends, you keep trusting in the rabbis. And I'm not even talking about literal rabbis, although that's one application of this. I'm talking about the fact that we should be followers of the word of God, not of the preacher. Now, when the preacher preaches the word of God, we're following the preacher because we're following the word of God. But we're following the word of God. When the preacher teaches against the word of God, you don't follow the preacher. You stay with the word of God. Preachers are given a call to preach the word of God. And you're to study that word as the noble Bereans did, where it says, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word from the, I would put a parenthesis, from the preacher, but with all readiness of mind, and then search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were constantly in their Bible to verify and qualify and make sure of the correctness of what the preacher said. In delaying to come to Lazarus, Christ had a purpose of mercy toward those who had not received him. So he was being merciful to those who had not accepted him yet. He tarried that by raising Lazarus from the dead, he might give his stubborn, unbelieving people another evidence that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. In his mercy, he purposed to give them one more evidence that he was the restorer and one who alone could bring life and immortality to light. This was to be an evidence that the priest could not misinterpret. This was the reason of the delay in going to Bethany. This crowning miracle, the raising of Lazarus, was to set the seal of God on his work and on his claim of divinity. It is in John 11, brothers and sisters, that you will also read that they determined, the evil ones, determined he got to go. It is in that same chapter that says, it is better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. But once he raised Lazarus, those who were on the fence but had the right heart, they accepted him. And those who were defiant against God, they said, that's it. Off with his head. Although the method was crucifixion. Okay? Lazarus had been laid in a cave in a rock. And a massive stone had been placed before the entrance. Take away the stone, Christ said, thinking that he only wished to look upon the dead. Martha objected, saying that the body had been buried 4 days and corruption had already begun its work. This statement, made before the raising of Lazarus, left no room for Christ's enemies to say that a deception had been practiced. In other words, Lazarus, he was just playing possum. He was just, you know, in there. He's not really dead. Some kind of deceptive thing happened. No. I believe when they rolled off that stone, they could probably smell the stench. And then God brought in the divine air freshener. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I heard one preacher say, and I do believe it. If he hadn't called Lazarus, every single person who had died on the face of the earth would have come forth. He had to limit the divinity to Lazarus, that power to Lazarus. His voice, clear and penetrating, pierces the ear of the dead. As he speaks, divinity flashes through humanity. In his face, which is lighted up by the glory of God, the people see the assurance of his power. Every eye is fastened on the entrance to the cave. Every ear is bent to catch the slightest sound. With intense and painful interest, all wait for the test of Christ's divinity, the evidence that is to substantiate his claim to be the Son of God, or to extinguish the hope forever. There is a stir in the silent tomb, and he who was dead stands door of the sepulchre. God is good, friends. The crowning act of Christ revealing his divinity was the raising of Lazarus. And it was not long after that that the plot was put forth to kill him. And he did not die of crucifixion. You're talking about God here. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, the song says. But he died alone for you and me. Christ allowed himself to die. But it wasn't crucifixion that killed him. It was the weight of the sins of the world. That's why when they came to him to break his bones and found he was dead already, they pierced him in his side. And that showed he had been dead for a while, because the blood coagulated as it does in death. And the red cells go down to the bottom in a cavity of the deceased. And the white and clearer fluids are at the top. So when they pierced him in the side, the red came out. Then the white clear came out. That just simply showed that he had been dead already. It's not anything magical, although it does show that there's symbolism, in other words, in it. There is wonderful symbolism in that. All right, friends, God is good. Happy Sabbath to all those who wish happy Sabbath on the line. We've got dear Sister Tiffany, Sister Salita, Sister Brittany, and dear Brother Robert Mahoney. God bless the Elder Mahoney. God bless each one of you guys. You all, I should say. And it's time now to transition to our wellness segment with the Torso Song.
In the state of Pennsylvania,
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice,
we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Okay. You all pray because I have a new way of charging this iPad, and it still isn't charging. So that would suggest there may be something wrong with the iPad, because I have a new cable, which means you wouldn't be on Facebook in the morning. So anyway, God is good. All right, friends, we're going to talk about faith healing today, faith healing. And I just want to tell you that the Bible is true when it says that it is according to our faith that we're made whole. And many of you all know that people can be well from different conditions, cancer, arthritis, diabetes. Does that mean God heals everybody? No. He has a divine will, and Jesus is coming soon. There is a time of trouble coming that the Bible speaks about, and everybody is not going to go through the time of trouble. It's going to be a time that the world has yet to see. We've had glimpses of what things could be like with a health crisis, and imagine that health crisis 100-fold and wars 100-fold and maybe some nuclear fallout issues coming up and all of these kind of things. And so the bottom line is we can't really imagine how bad it's going to be, but it will be persecution, and the issue will be religious liberty. And we can say that much. And for those of you who haven't studied what the mark of the beast actually is and the number 666 and all those things, all of those relate to the final test that we will have starting in America and in reaching out its tentacles to the entire world. That being said, brothers and sisters, as we have yet to see things, there's this thing called faith, and we have to have that kind of faith that will get us through. But one of the things that God is going to do in the last days is he's going to showcase his medical missionary work, this health message that the Bible gives us that helps to reverse conditions. And that's what I was referring to when I first started, to say you all have seen and many of you know of God's healing work. And I just mentioned that means he may not heal everybody, but God, we've all seen, those of us who've been in this work for some time, we've seen mighty miracles. And I want you all to know, with that backdrop, sometimes, you know, there may be people who you want to help, but they don't want help. And you know they're not going to make it if they don't go this way. because the other way is going to take them out. And yet, you can provide everything for them, but if they don't have faith, they don't have faith. They're not going to respond. And I've seen that over and over again, brothers and sisters. And it's a sad reality, but we have to give people the choice. You cannot force. God does not use force. It is the devil that uses force. That's why force can come in the form of a mandate. That's force. Job loss, refusal of services, so on and so forth, restriction of travel, all those things that can be forced. And I'm not saying there can't be sometimes some legitimate things that take place, but let it be legitimate, brothers and sisters, and not something that is part of a plot. Okay? So I just want to encourage you to study the Bible more, because the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10. And if you don't study the word and know about the power of God, then you won't be, and then his natural remedies that you'll read about in the Bible, then you won't have the faith when your sickness comes to you, friends, to give God's plan the priority in your life. So that's our topic for today. May God bless you. And I want to say that we will be having our Zoom church service today at 12, and I look forward to having you all join us. The Zoom ID is 557-587-3947, and we look forward again to your presence if God leads you to join us. And we're going to have roll call. As far as all those on Facebook, have a lot of interest on Facebook. I'm not sure. I think that my dear sisters from Michigan, then we have Virginia, then we have Indiana, then we have Maryland. This is all on Facebook. And then we have South Carolina and North Carolina. And then on the call, we have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Ohio. We have Indiana. We have Georgia, and that is our roll call for this morning. We are your servants here in Pennsylvania. Sister Maria sends her regards to everyone. We do know that Sister Cabin made it safely to the beautiful island of Bermuda, where she was born, and her mother, who is 101 years of age, and to be 102 in November, if God willing, she's going to be spending several months there with her mother, and we wish her God's blessing. She may be listening. She does have a way to get on, but not sure how, whether she's on with us at this time. See, there's this thing called internet radio. We can't tell who's on internet radio. Okay? There's no log of the people that are on internet radio. So if they go to freeconferencecall.com/wall/PORWM, and scroll down, they should be able to listen to the radio. Now, what I'm going to do is just verify something, and I'm going to go to our wall here, and let's see here. That's not what I want. I'm just going to check it out real quick just to see if that is on. Okay, I'm going to scroll down. It says radio off. Okay. All right, so that teaches me that I have to turn the radio on every day. So that's one more thing I need to do. So that's all right. I'll be able to do that. And God is good. All right, and we've got Brother Mahoney in South Carolina. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right, friends. Does anybody have anything you want to share? Just press *6. If there's anyone on Facebook, there have been some happy Sabbath and that type of thing and nice greetings. We wish you happy Sabbath as well. Is there anybody who wants to share anything at this time? I will say pray for my iPad, that whatever the reason is as to why it is not charging, please let's keep that in prayer, because that would keep us. So those of you who are on Facebook, If it is something internal with the iPad, we might not be able to be on tomorrow. So on Facebook, that is. So you'll know if you don't see us. All right. God is good. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close with prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the Sabbath day. We thank you for the opportunity to commune with you today. We ask for your presence. Give us faith, for that is the key to our salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who made it possible. And as we believe in him in faith, and in that belief, obey his word, we are guaranteed salvation. We pray that you will bring us to higher heights and do the undreamed of in our lives for the sake of your honor, your glory. In Jesus' name, we ask for healing and encouragement and protection and financial help to those struggling right now. Somebody may be burdened with guilt. Help them to just repent to the extent of the injury, even if they have to humble themselves and say they're sorry to somebody. Not worth losing your salvation over something that was done in a rash moment. We ask that you would bless us now with the benediction of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, God's good. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And hallelujah. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you. Closing song.
I will trust in